Guys, get ready. There'll be definitely be prizes given away.
Okay.
Water or tea?
Water. Water.
What? Water?
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Rabbi Say. What's your name?
Kobe.
Kobe from where?
Skokie.
Skokie, Chicago, yeah. Apparently you went to the yeshiva there, Skokie?
Yeah.
Very nice. Who's the best yeshiva there today?
Rabbi Friedman.
Rabbi Friedman. Okay, Rabbi Say, so, okay. Anybody know what's the most famous Maharal ever quoted by everyone? I mean, not everyone, but the most quoted one. The Maharal Miprag was a Jewish philosopher, Gadol giant that lived 400 years ago, right? He died 1609. And he wrote a very important Sfarim. Maybe we'll go over the Sfarim that he wrote. What are the Sfarim that he wrote? Netzach Yisrael. Gur Aryeh and Rashi, yes. Gvur Hashem. Tiferes Yisrael. So those three are one. Gvurus, Tiferes, Netzach, that's right. What else did he write? Come on, Chava. Shivat HaKotel, they're supposed to know these things. What? Sorry? Nisibos Olam. Yes. Which is Musar Midas. That's right. His commentary on Pirkei Avos, which is called Derech Chaim. A Sefer Chanukah called Ner Mitzvah. Or Chodesh on Purim. Be'er HaGoyla, funny Chazals. Right? Chazals which people make fun of. And there's one Maharal quoted that everybody quotes him. The Shef Shmaitze quotes him in the Agdama. It's the most quoted one. That's the Gur Aryeh in Parshas Vayigash. What does he say there? He's speaking about the Rashi. The Gur Aryeh is a commentator on Rashi. He's speaking about what Rashi says in the Pasuk, that one of Shimon's children is called Shaul ben Aknanis. Funny name. So who's his mother? Aknanis. So what does Rashi say? Who is she?
Dina.
And why is she called Knainis? Yes. Are you the only one that knows you something? Huh? Because I see everybody's so quiet. What's your name?
Moshe.
Moshe what?
Colmar.
From where?
Originally New Jersey, now Yerushalayim.
Ah, yes, you'll see. So do you know it from New Jersey or from Yerushalayim, what you're saying? Uh-huh.
Nice.
So, Al Kolpanim. So, Rashi says it's not a Knainis, it's a sister Dina. Why doesn't Rashi explain Kipshutai, that he got married to Aknanis? And Shaul ben Aknanis. So I'm afraid Rashi explained, because that's impossible, because Avram told Eliezer not to get married to Aknanis for Yitzhak. And Yitzhak told Yaakov not to take Aknanis. So Shimon's going to just get married to Aknanis against the family heritage, and impossible. So to make things easier, it's not Aknanis, it's his sister. So is that better? That's a lighter iser, especially it's a sister Aviv Umi Imoy, right? Shimon and Dina, they share the same parents, father and mother, and the others kept the Torah before it was given. So how could Shimon get married to his sister? So you want to make things easier to say it's not a Knainis, but you got it worse. It's much more severe. So on that, all Mefarash Rashi answer, including the Maharal, that since there's a rule of Ger Shenizgayer Kekota and Shenoylat. Right? Thank you, Shkoech. Wow. Yofi, I knew it was Kedai to come. Okay, thanks. Since there's a rule of Gershin is Gai Kachatashalom, meaning every generation had to accept the Torah anew, because it was not mandatory, it wasn't a chiyuv. So therefore, Shimon and Dina are not called siblings, and they're allowed to marry each other. Because that's the halacha, even today, Midinei Torah. Rabbanan said not to do it. Midinei Torah, if a goy and a goya siblings convert, they're allowed to marry each other. Because they're called born again. The Gershin is Gair, Kikotan Shinoi Ladami. Okay? Atkan, it's Dvarim Pshutin. So before I go on, I just want to give a little introduction. The Chassam Sofer asks a question that only a genius like the Chassam Sofer could ask. Because it's like such a simple question that only geniuses think about it. The Gemara brings down a few times in Chas, Ger Shenizgayer Kekotan Shinoi Ladami. Someone who's converted is born again. Born anew. Asks the Chassam Sofer, Chazal bring it down in the Gemara a few times. Omer Shlokish, Ger Shenizgayer Kekotan Shinoi Ladami. They didn't bring a source for it. They wouldn't make it up on their own. Because it has tremendous ramifications. a mother and son that convert can marry each other. It's like unbelievable. Probably Chazal saw it somewhere in the Torah. Where? Where's the makor? Where's the source? The Chasam Sofer in his Chidushim in Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Gimel, says, "Kol yamai nitkasheti." I don't know where the source is. Chazal just saying it as a given. Where'd they get it from? They wouldn't make it up on their own. Rather, they saw it somewhere in the Chumash or Halacha Chumash Mesina or something. Where is the source of Ger Shenizgayer Kekot Mishinah Adami? And the Chasam Sofer remained with a question. Comes the Meshech Chachma in Pashas Vaschanan, and he quotes the Chasam Sofer, and he says, "I found the source. I know the pasuk that says Ger Shenizgayer Kekot Mishinah Adami." Where? Do you know that all the, you know what's, where do we learn most the Negeris from? Do you know from where? Two Dapim in the Grund, and Vav Mem Zayin and Yuvavas. What is the prime source that we learn from there? All Dine Gerus. No. Not Ruth. What? Matan Torah. Exactly. Maamon Har Sinai. Maamon Har Sinai is called a massive conversion. We became Jews then. And all the halachas of Gerus we learned from there. Now it says after Matan Torah, Shuvu Lachem Le'ohalechem. Which Chazal interpreted in the Grand Moed Kotnet means go back to your homes, to your wives. Asks for Meir Simcha, weren't there marriages that were now disqualified based on the new Torah that was given? For example, Amram and Yocheved. Amram and Yocheved per se probably were not alive in Matan Torah. But Amram Jr. and Yocheved Jr. Do you say Jr. and a girl? I never saw it. You do? So let's mechadish you could. Okay? It's a nephew getting married to his aunt. A goy's allowed to, a Jew's not allowed to. And there's a few other examples like that. So how could you tell all of them go back to your wives? How could Amram Jr. go back to Yocheved Jr.? It's a nephew getting married to his wife, to his aunt. How could you just say go back? Elamai, what do you have to say? That since in Matan Torah we all became Gerim, and there's no more relationship, no more relations, consequently everybody's allowed to go back to his wife. Elamai, a new kiddushin again. And here is the source of Ger Shenizgayer Kekotn Shenol Adami. And he says that some surfer had this question, I found the source. Chazal picked it up from the pasuk, Shuvu Lachem Le'olechem. Kach Omer Meir Simcha. Who was Meir Simcha's wife? What was her name? Chaya. What was the Rebbe Kivega's wife's name? I don't know. What was the Vilna Goyen's wife's name? I don't know. What was the Rambam's wife's name? I don't have a clue. What was the Rajba's wife's name? What was the Shagazai's wife's name? I don't know. What was the wife of Rameir Simcha? The whole world knows she's called Chaya. Mama, makarasham. Because when they got married, and I wish this on all of you guys, when they got married, she was 20, he was 23, and after a few months she told him, you know, I see you're something else. You're not a regular guy. You could be a Goyen. You could be God Lador. So he said, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, it's a pity you should come home every night. Mamash chaval. So what should I do? You should come home only on Shabbos. And where am I going to be the whole week? I'll arrange for you'll be in the shul, and there's this nashim in the Villa Stuck, that's where they lived, where the Artsis farm is, and you'll have food, clothing, whatever you need. It's mamash chaval, you can become God Lador. For a young girl the age of 20 to tell someone 23, you can become God Lador. That you have a special vision. And he said to her, Chai, you sure that's what you want to do? She said, yeah. Okay, we'll try it out. And he went into that Ezra's Nashim at the age of 23, and he came out at the age of 37. And when he went in, he was this brilliant Avrech called Rumer Simcha, and when he came out, he was Gadol Hador. He and the Chofetz Chaim were Gadol Hador. Now, he was 6'3", Rumer Simcha. I knew people who knew him. The Chofetz Chaim was 4'11". So then it says, Echad amarbe ve'echad amamit u'bevad shichav en liboy la'shomayim. But he always mentioned his wife Chaya, Rameir Simcha. Always. So it's all because of her. And when she died, he went next to her kever and said, Chaya, Chaya, daigenisht, bal techkum anaychet. Chaya, don't worry, I'm going to join you soon. And he died 3 months later. It's like a version of Rabbi Kiva and Rachel. So the whole Am Yisrael has appreciation for Chaya. She did a major sacrifice, but we got Rameir Simcha out of it. Otherwise, who would know about him? He would have been a clever guy that lived in Dvinsk. Fine. That's what Rameir Simcha says. So now, before we go on, today will be Tchesem Esim, or tomorrow, and we're going to read Rameir Simcha. So if I'll have an opportunity to speak to Rav Meir Simcha, and I'll identify him because he's such a tall rabbi, it's not so common. I'm going to tell him, Rabbeinu, he's writing in Parshas Vayeshanan that the source of Gershon is God, Kekatan Shinoi L'Adami, as the Pasuk said in Matan Torah, Shuvu Lachem Lo'olechem. And I'll probably say, yeah, I wrote it. I know what I wrote. There's just another very tall rabbi also, who lived 300 years earlier, who totally disagrees. And who's that other tall rabbi who totally disagrees? That's the Maharal. He was called the Hochrav. He was also very tall. I don't know what his hat was. But he disagrees legamre. It's a pellet that Ramirez Simcha didn't even mention it. Because this Maharal I'm going to tell you now, the Shef Shmaitzer quotes in the Agdama, the Kli Chemda quotes, everyone quotes him. The Maharal goes on saying, Shimon's allowed to get married to Dina because Gershon is Gai Kekatan Shinolad. Does that mean that all the Jewish people in Matan Torah are allowed to get married to each other? Siblings, whatever? Which Ramirez Simcha would say yes? Says the Maharal, that's impossible. Because it says in Parshas Baal Lo Yischa, Bo Yichel Mishpuchasayim, that they were crying on Isur HaRayis that became Asa to them. That means they're not allowed to get married to their relatives. And if you say when Gerus kicks in, Gersh is Gai, Kekatan Shinoi L'Adami, and that's like Shimon's allowed to get married to Dina, how come in Matan Torah the Jewish people weren't allowed to get married to each other? Meaning that Isur HaRayis was Noheg. Says the Maharal, and here's the famous part. This is the famous part of the Maharal. It says, in Matan Torah, you know how come it didn't kick in full swing the Gerus to the degree of Gershon is Gai, Kekatan Shinoi L'Adami? You know why? Because it was this Kofa Har Kigigis. You're familiar, guys, with that concept? Mm-hmm. That Kosh Bol held the mountain over us like a barrel. And there was a coercion there. A Hechrach. And since it was done by Hechrach, you don't say Gershon is Gai, Kekatan Shinoi L'Adami. Shimon and Dina, or any guy that comes today, he's coming totally on his own free volition. Then you say, Gershon is Gai, Kekatan Shinoi L'Adami. But since Am Yisrael and Matan Torah were a little bit forced into it, so therefore you don't say, Gershon is Gai, Kekatan Shinoi L'Adami. Atkan Divrei HaMaharal there. What's the problem with the Maharal there? Tell me, guys, what's the problem? What's the question you could ask? Yes?
How then can we justify continuing the marriages of
related? Oh, so the Maharal will answer Ramirez Simcha's question by saying that the Torah is referring to the vast majority, to 96%, not to every single marriage. That's usually what we answer. The Torah is speaking to the Rav. And in Chinam, and Amram and Yocheved juniors will have to separate. But on the principle of what the Maharal says, that because it was done by coercion, the Gerus did not kick in full, what's the problem? What's the question that could be asked?
Jewish.
So what?
Called Torah cool.
What do you mean?
If this doesn't kick in, why should anything else?
So we should become Jews. I think that's what you want to say also. Right?
We're related.
Yeah. You're related?
Son of a thing.
Huh? Very, very nice. Where are you from?
I'm from Denver.
Denver?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, Yofi. Krauss, the Krauss family's from there?
Is that?
The Krauss?
Yes.
Okay, good, good. So, meaning, well, if it's because we're forced, so we should become Jews. But we did become Jews. If you catch an Arab in the old city and you force him to convert, is it worth anything? If you come with a gun and you tell him, if you're not going to convert, I'll shoot you. So he converts. Is it worth anything?
No.
Zero. Like they say in England, rubbish. That's nothing. So if we're forced, so we should be Jews. But we are called Jews from Matan Torah. The Torah did kick in. And someone was Michal Shabbos, a few months later, it's Chayav Misa. So the Gerus did work. Yeah. Did we become Jews? Yes. Are we Jewish? Yes. But not to the degree of Gershon is Gai, Kekatan Shinoi L'Adami. Where do you draw the line? Because that we were forced. If you're forced, the whole thing should be nullified. Elamai, we're not forced. So let's become game to the Gerus took place 90%. But for that last 10% that we should be called born anew, no. What's up, Shat? So that's what the world tried to understand what the Maharal mean. They said that the Gerus in Matan Torah was done b'kfiyah, by coercion, so therefore, we're Gerim, but not Adasov. Not Adasov. What's up, Shah? How about we speak Hebrew? Yeah, nice. If you come to Eretz Yisrael, be honest, you speak up Hebrew. Especially these Israelis in Shiva Tekolta, nechon? Nechon? As tam adabrim Yivrit, nechon? Can't come on American, kailu, or kacha? Huh? Tam adabrim Yivrit tova? Can't, atu chol estadar barchov? So there's two explanations that were said in this Maharal. One, the Rav Hutna Zatzal says in the Pachad Yitzchak, And I found months later, years later, that the Apurion, who wrote the Apurion? Rav Shlomo Gansvid, the one who wrote the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, has a commentary in Chumash called Apurion. And he also says the same beer in the Maral. And Parshas Bamidbar, I don't know how to reach there. And then there's the Klichem, this explanation. And the Klich, and we're going to see that one of these explanations will be an instruction for life. Bemet. Rav Hutner and Apurion say the following. Pachad Yitzhak, right? It was the Shiv of Chaim Berlin. It's like this. When anybody's forced, the Jews forced to do a mitzvah, why does it work? You know, when you force a Jew to do a mitzvah, if you force someone to give a get, does it work? So the famous Rambam, right? What's the famous Rambam? In Hichas Gerushin? Deep down, he really wants. Nachon? Famous Rambam. That when you force someone to give a get, it works, even though get has to be given willingly, because deep down, every Jew wants to do the right thing. And the only thing that's stopping us is the Yetzirah. So when you release it from the grip of the Yetzirah, surfaces the real truth. That's what the Rambam says. How do you know that deep down all the Jews want to do Ratzon Hashem? I guess from Matan Torah. But in Matan Torah itself was done by Kfiyah. What are you going to say there? I guess deep down that's what we want. Where'd that come from? Today you say it came from Matan Torah. And Matan Torah itself, that was done through Kfiyah, through force. We're going to say the same Rambam. That deep down that's what we wanted. Where'd that come from? What would you say? Because we're Bnei Amram Yitzchak Yaakov. We're the children of the Abbas. So the Gerus kicks in because of our lineage. A Gerus which is based on your past, how do you want it to disconnect you from your past? It's an oxymoron. The moment you'll be disconnected from your past, meaning born anew, so you're forced, it shouldn't work. If you're forced to Arab, it doesn't work. How can we, if we were forced, it does work? Because deep down, that's what we wanted anyway. Where did that deep down come from? From your earlier stages in life. Meaning, your earlier lineages, the obvious. So the whole garrison works because we're relying on our past. So a garrison which is based on your past, how do you want it to connect, disconnect from your past? It's impossible. It's two opposites in one go, that's impossible. You hear the word voice say, Geshmak. You know what's called the Yiddish Geshmak? You know what Geshmak means, guys? Good. It's a good chesed. If you're based on the past, you can't be disconnected from the past. Alex, isn't that super duper Geshmak? Yeah. What do you say, Uzi? Yeah. That's what they say. That's what Rav Hutner and Apurion say. If it's done, meaning when the Maral said it's done bekfiyah, we were forced, so the next stage will be, so how did it work? Because deep down, that's what you want. Where did that deep down come from? From your earlier lineage stages. So how do you want to be disconnected from your past if you're relying on your past? Impossible. That's how they explain it. The Klichemda explains it a different way. In my humble opinion, a much more Maharal approach. You know what the Klichemda says? Which is really an instruction for life. The Klichemda says like this. You know, you cannot say, tell me why. It's impossible to say the following sentence. I was forced to begin from scratch. You can't say that. Tell me why not. I was forced to begin. We may say that in our conversations, but philosophically it's impossible. I was forced to start from the beginning. That's a sentence that you cannot say. Why not? Think, Heller.
Because maybe there had to have been something that maybe preempted that. Like, you must have had something in you that wanted you to start from the beginning.
So how come I can't say I was forced to begin?
Maybe you can't truly be forced to do anything.
Nah.
You have to have something.
What?
You won't have tarry on if you're forced from the beginning.
No. Oh.
It really begins from the person forcing you.
That means, exactly. If I'm forced, that means I'm not the beginning. Someone else was the beginning. But if something's forcing you, that means you belong to some kind of system from before. If you're starting from scratch, that means before you there's nothing. So what's forcing you? I'll give you an example. If I have some money in my pocket, which usually doesn't happen, let's say I have some money in my pocket, and I go over to Amichai and I say, Amichai, I have here 100 pounds, I'm afraid I'm going to lose, I want to give you a loan. So Amichai says, I don't need a loan, I'm rolling in the dough, I don't need a loan. I said, no, Amichai, I really want to give it to you. No, thank you. I'll take you to Din Torah, since you're refusing to take a loan. So it's ridiculous, you can't force someone to take a loan. And if we'll go to Din Torah, it's ridiculous. They'll throw us out, they'll throw me out immediately. But if someone took a loan, and he doesn't pay back, then you do force him. What's the difference? Come on, we gotta be awake here. We gotta be awake. How come I can force someone to pay back, I cannot force someone to take a loan? We all feel there's a difference, but let's define it. What's the difference? Yes.
When you force someone to pay back, the beginning was him not paying back the loan. But when you force someone to give it, you forcing is the beginning.
You can't force, exactly. How can we can't force someone to take a loan? On what basis? We're starting now from scratch. What are you forcing me? Why can't I say no? There's nothing earlier. If there was no loan before, there's nothing earlier. So what's forcing us? Once you took a loan, you're already deep into it. Okay, now I can force you. It's impossible to be forced to begin. Because begin means before that was zero. If there's zero, what's forcing you? If there's a broom running after you, so the broom is one and you're two. But I can't be one and something before me. It's impossible. But first, I want to tell you that biologically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this swear of the Maral in the biological world that we live in. You know, Gilui Arayis is Yehorik Val Yavor. It's one of the three cardinal errors. And what happens if a woman committed Gilui Arayis because she wasn't such a hero? She should have killed herself, but she didn't. Is she Chayav Misa now? Huh?
No.
Why not?
We say it was honest.
What? Because we say it was honest. Very good. Now, what happens if, from the man's point of view, if he was forced to commit Gilui Arayis and he did it? He didn't kill himself. He committed the Gilui Arayis. Do you kill him or not? You do. What's the difference? How come the woman, you don't kill the man, you do kill? You know what the Gemara says? Because a man cannot have a relationship without will. But a woman could. A woman could give birth even if she was raped, Chas v'Shalom. A man can't. It's the sfer of the moral. A beginning has to be always berotzon. Has to be willing. I can't be forced to begin. Masha Enken, on the woman's side, it's not the beginning anymore. There you could force. You know, the word Av in Hebrew, what does it mean? Father. And what else does it mean? What? No. The word. V'lo Ava Hashem Elokecha lishmoa b'kolo. V'im lo soveh ha'isha l'alechet acharai. What does it mean? What?
Desire.
Isn't it interesting in Lashon HaKodesh that father and desire are the same word? You know why? Because a father cannot become a father if he didn't desire it. Let's wake up this chevre. Come on, guys. You can't fall asleep now. It's not shaykh. This is a moral to remember for life. So you sleep soon. Okay? Soon. But you can't fall asleep now. Okay? So, b'ketzer, it's not shaykh that I began by coercion. Impossible. Because that means it's not a beginning. It's a continuation of yesterday. That's what it has to mean. So let's say, going to school, you went to elementary school. And then you went to high school. So there's two ways I look at it. High school, ninth grade could be a beginning. Or it could be, no, I finished eighth grade, so I went on. What am I going to do, go in the streets? So it's a continuation of school, of elementary school. And then when I finished high school, what did I do? So you could say, I'm going to yeshiva, it's a new beginning. No, because I finished high school, so what am I going to do? I go a year or two to Israel, everybody does it. So it's a continuation of high school. A person can go through his whole life, never feeling ever a feeling of beginning. Because everything is just a continuation of yesterday. Yesterday I finished that stage, now I go on to the next stage. Right? I got married at the age of 22, 23, 24, because everybody gets married then. So it's not a beginning. You know, at a certain age you get married. And then you die at the age of 92, 93, because everybody dies then. So you never did anything as a beginning. It was always the continuing stage of the previous one. The next stage of the previous one. That's not called beginning. Beginning demands that there should be a large dosage of what, Uzi? Rutzen. There has to be Rutzen. Rutzen means I want it. I'm doing it. Right? Or that you're thinking about it or you're internalizing it. But otherwise, it's not a beginning. Beginning has to be that you decided you want to do something. That's called the beginning. But otherwise, I'm just what's called inertia. And how do you say inertia in English? Inertia. Yeah, that's going on. My whole life is one big inertia. I'm just going on because that's the stages I got to do. When is it called I'm doing something from beginning? If I stopped, focused, and I said, yeah, I want to do it. First, I'll give you an example to show this nukuda. From one point of view, we're all obligated to keep Torah and mitzvahs, right? We have to. From another point of view, when you do Torah and mitzvahs, you're supposed to give birth to yourself. You're supposed to bring out your new potentials. That's what I'm around in the beginning of Parshas Noach. That the main ikat of the same should tzaddikim ma'asim tovim. Right? They're giving birth to themselves. But we're obligated to keep Torah and mitzvahs. How can I give birth to myself? If birth means rotzon, but I'm obligated, so how can I How do you? In Matan Torah, there wasn't a leida because we were forced. So I'm forced tomorrow to put on tefillin. You're also. So how could I be born through that tefillin if I'm forced? A birth cannot happen by coercion. So what do you have to say?
I want to.
Yes, I'm forced, but I also want to. You know, in Pasha's book, coming up, it says that in Makkas Poros, the poor Shifra also died. It says, Rashi, why did the poor Shifra die? Why did they die? Because they were also subjugating Am Yisrael. Asks the Maral, but they were forced to. They got orders from their bosses. It says, Maral, but they did it besimcha. That's Lashon Rashi. And once you do it besimcha, it's not called forced. You did it with a passion. The one word I always hear from Rabbi Targan, passion. We want boys that have a passion. Right? So, meaning, guys, let's think about it a second. If I put on tomorrow's tefillin, if I'm going to put it on like this, nothing's born from that, I promise you. And I could do tefillin like that for the next 80 years. Nothing will be born. Zero. Because I didn't do it with any cheshek. I didn't think about it. I just did it habitually from birth. Ephes. That kind of putting on tefillin almost is worthless. I'm kind of in the midst of the rise, but do I grow from it? Nah. I'm doing it since a bar mitzvah. Nothing. But what will make it birth worthy? If I pause for a second, I say, oh, I'm now going on to put on four parashiyas. What are the four? Kadesh Vayavik Yocha Shema Vayim Shemar. Geshmak. Wow. And the Tefillin Shiyat is one big box. The Tefillin Shirosh are four different ones. Interesting. I wonder why is that so? And I start thinking a little bit, and then I get a taste of it. Now you put on tefillin, that will give birth. But if I just put it on like a machine, it's nothing. Ephes. Nachon? The Chofetz Chaim, Reb Shimon Schwab, when I was 15 years old in New York, Reb Shimon Schwab came to our school, and he said they spend one Shabbos, Pashas B'Shalach, with the Chofetz Chaim. And we all looked at him, you spend Shabbos with the Chofetz Chaim? He says, yeah, it changed my life. I was 19 years old then. And I spent the whole Shabbos with the Chofetz Chaim. And he had a bunch of stories that happened then. The conversations that he had with the Chofetz Chaim. One of them, though, I'll share with you now. It was Pashas B'Shalach, which was the Pasha of the man. So the Chofetz Chaim asked the little kids around the table, I wonder how many of them survived the Shoah. Tell me, kids, how did the man taste like? So kids answer. What do kids answer?
Ice cream.
Yeah, whatever you want it. You wanted ice cream, you wanted chocolate pudding, pizza, whatever you wanted, whatever you thought of, that's what it tasted. Ask the Chofetz Chaim, and what happens if you ate it without thinking? You didn't think about any specific food. You just ate it. You know, you're reading a book and you put it in your mouth. You were thinking about nothing. How did it taste then? Maybe you would say, tzapichas b'dvash. That's what I would say. I don't know, the Chofetz Chaim didn't want that answer. How did it taste then?
Tasted nothing.
So it said the Chofetz Chaim. He said, I want to give you a rule for life. If you don't think, it's tasteless. Anything in life. If you don't think, it's tasteless. I'll give you an example, guys. I'll show it to you. Something we experience. Us, we're all FFBs, so to speak. You know, what's the main theme of Pesach? Chayrus, freedom, matzahs. What's the main theme of Shavuos? Matan Torah. What's the main theme of Rosh Hashanah? Din, Malchus. What's the main theme of Yom Kippur? Kapara, Tshuva. And so, what's the main theme of Shabbos? Oh, I don't know. What should I focus on the 24 hours of Shabbos? What should be my main focus? I don't know. No one ever told me.
Creation of the world.
What? I should focus on the creation of the world? Is that my focus? I'm asking. Ma'aseh Shabbos is the reason of Shvi'is Melacha. Is that the main theme of Shabbos? I'll tell you the truth. No one ever told me. I have it once a week. Do you know that Shabbos is holier than Yom Kippur? Do you know that Shabbos is the holiest day by far? More than Rosh Hashanah, more than Yom Kippur, more than all the Yom Tovs? If a person's Mechal Yom Tov, he's Chayv only Malchus. If a person's Mechal Shabbos, he's Chayv Skila. On Yom Kippur, he's Chayv Akoras, and Shabbos also, plus Skila. Do you know that Shabbos is the holiest day by far of the Jewish calendar? Do you know whenever a word appears the first time in the Torah, that's what it's all about? That's what Tzedek HaKohen says? The word Gedusha appears the first time by Shabbos? it's the first time that Shabbos, that the word Kedusha is mentioned in the Torah. And what's Shabbos by us? Nothing! Garbage! I sleep 4 hours, I read the newspapers, we speak about the local rabbi at the Shabbos table, and politics, and I go to sleep again, Mincha Marv, and I'm waiting sometimes for Shabbos. It should be over, because I have a lot of social activity in Moitza Shabbos. So am I going to grow from that kind of experience? Zero! Nothing! It's called Shabbos, it's called the biggest gift that Kodesh Baruch Hu ever gave us. Matana Teva. Yeah, not for me. Why? Because I don't think 2 seconds about it. When my mother's lighting candles, I'm still taking a shower. And then I wake up late, you know, let's say Chutzaretz. It's after Zman Kriyashma, after Zman everything. I don't know. What's Shabbos for us? We have what happened yesterday. Was it very inspirational? Okay, it was nice. Do you know if you live 90 years, Shabbos is about 14 years of your life? No, 13 years, whatever. What's Shabbos? Tell me, guys, I want to get inspirational about Shabbos. What should I think about? Creation. Menucha. Chult. What should I think about? I'll just give you an example, guys. This is something we have once a week, and we don't gain almost anything from it. You know why? Because we don't think. We don't internalize. We don't do the beratzon. So there's no birth that happens on Shabbos, or as a result of Shabbos. And I can live 100 years. Every Shabbos will be again and again and again, and it won't be something special. Comes Rosh Hashanah, yeah. Then I get uptight a little bit. Malchus, I study a little bit what it means. Yom Kippur, Tshuva, yeah. Not Shabbos. Rabbi, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just giving examples of things that happen under our nose every day, and every often. If I don't stop thinking or tasting it, or having a passion, it will mean nothing. What the Chofetz Chaim said, if you don't think, it's tasteless. I'll give you an example. Let me illustrate again. Rabbi say, no one should take this personally what I'm saying, right? I'm speaking really to myself. I'm going to tell you a story that a five-year-old knows, and I'm going to say it like a five-year-old, and then I'm going to ask you a question on it. You know, there was one night that Yaakov Avinu was so tired. You can't imagine how tired he was. You know how come he was so tired? He didn't sleep for 14 years. You know what he looked like? He didn't have bags under his eyes. His whole face was a bag. He finally went to sleep. After 14 years, he deserved so. In those days, there weren't pillows, so he took stones. And the stones started to fight. One stone said, Alay anech tzadiget rosho. And the other stone says, Alay anech tzadiget rosho. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the stones, don't fight, it's not nice. And he made all the stones one. And they lived happily ever after. Can anybody add anything more than a five-year-old to this story? Could you say this story over to intellectual, secular Jew without blushing? We know the story from the age of 3. But now we're not 3 anymore. Could you tell me like anything interesting about this, Rashi? Now, who says you have to say something deep? Maybe it's really emuna pshuta. Maybe. No, could stones fight? They have free will to fight? How come this didn't happen with Avram, Yitzchak, Moshe? Why did it happen only with Yaakov? And with Yaakov and himself, it only happened that night. That's what Chazal say. I guess there's something more than meets the eye in this Chazal. What is it? I don't know. No one ever told me something about it. So what am I supposed to do? So what do I remember about this Rashi? Nothing. What do I get from this Rashi? Nothing. What do I get from this for my whole Judaism? Nothing. I'm just doing it. I never really had a passion for it. Rabbi Tarkin's brother from Gush Etzion once came to our base in London. His name is Moshe. You know of him? Moshe Tarkin. And he came and asked the guys, what would be if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and tell you that for the next 24 hours you could do whatever you want on the house? No Gehenom, no Averis. Nothing. You could eat treif, you could do whatever you want. 24 hours, hefker. You could do whatever you want. What would you do? So one fellow raised his hand and said, Rabbi, I have all kinds of ideas what I would do, but I'm not interested in sharing it. I know what I would do. Okay, that's what he said. And then Ramosha Targan answered. They asked him, you remember? Sam Haas asked them, what would you do? He says, I would not change one iota from what I'm doing every day. I'd wake up the next morning and put on tefillin, daven in a minyan, and say, Amen Yeshmei Rabba, Baruch Hu Kedusha, because this is the best way how to live. You think I'm living this way because I'm afraid of hell? I'm living this way because I know it's the best way how to live a life. I would not change it by one iota. Someone who does Judaism that way will constantly grow and discover himself and give birth to himself. Constantly. Shabbos will be meaningful. Tefillin will become meaningful. Everything will be. But without that approach, I could live 90 years and nothing. The next is much more interesting than Marv. Not the next, not this year. They're terrible, but generally speaking. Yeah. You think I like this stuff? I don't like this stuff. I'm doing it because I don't know where I'm from. Nobody said that's the point that the Maharal's saying. If it's done just because of coercion, just because of habit, nothing's born from it. And you don't have gersh in this guy, kukat and shenolat. That's what the klichem is learning the Rashi. Rav Hutna learned the Rashi that it means, how could it be effective, the kfiyah? The klichem is learning the Maharal, not how could it be effective, but why was it done? Obviously, because Matan Torah is not the beginning of a process, it's towards the end of a process. It's a graduation party. That's the kind that wasn't Gershon, this guy, Kukot Nishinolad. Because why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu force us if it's the beginning? He offered the Torah to the Goyim and he didn't force them, so why did he force us? Because it's not a beginning of a process, it's a conclusion of a process, which started by the Avos, the Shvatim, Shibut Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Matan Torah is the graduation party. So that's how we're forced. So since it's a conclusion of a process, there's no beginning there. That's how the Klichem explains the Rashi, which is so much more moral than approach. But Rabbi said, this is the challenge that we all have. I'm speaking to you. You think I don't have the challenge also? That if I do something, I'm going to have a mincha. I'm talking to God. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that fantastic? Doesn't that keep me up awake? Right? The heart. I'm going to soon have a marav and say Shema. Rabbi, I'll give you another example. Rabbi, what time do we have? What time does your sale start? 3? What?
2:30.
No, we'll finish it. Don't worry. I'll give you another example. Do you know, Rabbi, what did Chazal call the first parsha of Shema and how did they call the second parsha of Shema? Kabbalah Sol Machus Shemaim and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, right? The first Mishnah and Perek Sheni and Brachas. That the first parsha of Shema was supposed to think about accepting the yoke of the kingdom of Hashem. And the second parsha of Shema, what am I supposed to be thinking about? Accepting the yoke of mitzvahs. Can anybody tell me in simple English what's the difference between these two yokes? If I accept the Kodesh Baruch Hu as my king, doesn't that mean that whatever he tells me to do, I'll do? So isn't that Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs as well? Why are there two different parshas? And this is not philosophy. This is something we have to do twice a day. In the morning, when I say the first parsha of Shema, I'm supposed to be engaged in the process of accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom upon myself. And the second parsha of Shema, I'm supposed to be involved in the process of accepting the mitzvahs, the yoke of mitzvahs. Can anybody explain to me what's the difference between these two yokes? Alex.
Accepting the yoke of mitzvahs is just because they are mitzvahs and you've got to do them, whereas accepting the yoke of Hashem is that you do them because they are correct. They are because you want to do them.
No, the second parsha of Shema also says Le'ahava. It's also Ava.
The second one is accepting it because out of Ratzon, the first one is because Hashem is the king.
No. They're both Ava. They're both Ratzon. Now let's be honest, guys. I'm sorry. Sorry. You know what's the honest answer? I don't care a hoot what's the difference between the two because I never thought about it anyway. I say the first part and the second part. You think I'm focusing? I'm just saying it and I want to get over with. I don't care what's the difference between the first part and the second part. I never thought about Tila anyway. And you think tonight I'm going to start thinking about it? I'm going to just read it. No, but Chazal said that the first part is Kabbalah Sol Machus Shemaim and the second part is Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. Yeah, it's Chazal, but it doesn't. When I say Shema at night, I'm thinking about supper, and in the morning I'm still hardly to woke up. That's my Shema. Guys, am I saying the truth or not? You see, as you see, I'm not English. I'm an American. No, we say it the way it is. I don't know what first parsha is, second parsha is. You think I think about these things? That's the real answer. How's it in Denver? What do you say?
I think you say the same words, and hopefully with quite a higher Madrega, maybe, because we're 5280.
I'm telling you, that's what they're all saying. I got to be sure. That's like I'm a little bit blunt today. If you're not going to think and you're not going to focus, you're going to go through your whole life and the attitude will be, eh. Are you inspired by Kriya Shema? No. What do you feel about davening? It's a burden. What do you feel about davening a minyan? Okay. Sometimes a davening at home, just as good. If there's a clash between Marv and an NBA semifinals, What will prevail? NBA will. So is that kind of Judaism going to get us anywhere? Ephes. Mitoch shelo lishma, ba lishma, hopefully one day it will lead to something. If I don't stop to think and I don't stop to focus, nothing. What mean anything? I can have these great opportunities coming to Yeshiva HaKotel, being a year or two in Eretz Yisrael, learning only Torah. This is fantastic. Yeah, I just did it. And I'm already thinking now about my university when I go back. I'm already thinking now, when I'm going to focus on it. Yeah. That's something I already know already. Why is Judaism a maternal religion? I don't know. Because I think it's easier to follow the mother, no? Did you ever hear that explanation? What do you say? They say a mother, when she's pregnant, you can see it. But a father, in some places in the world, Father's Day is a very confusing day. Because the push don't know. So that's like how Judaism is a maternal religion, because it's easier to follow the mother. Is that Torah? Is that called Torah? How come Kahuna and Leviah doesn't go according to the mother then? How come that goes according to the father? According to the Ramban, till Matan Torah, even our religion went through the father, till Matan Torah, and it was switched over to Matan Torah. If it's because of a biological factor that the mother carries the baby, what's the difference? You see, you know, guys, I'm serious. There's a few people falling asleep now, which just brings out my point. I mean, I'm just doing it. I'm not living it. I'm just doing it. I gotta tick the boxes. But do I have the passion that Rabbi Tarkin's speaking about? I don't know. What would you say, Chava? You tell me. Am I right or wrong? If I'm wrong, please correct me. What would you say?
No, you're right.
You think so?
Yeah.
Does anybody disagree? So what do we do about this, Chava? How do we get the passion? What should we do? Meaning, I could do it, like I'm soon going on a plane. I could go economy, I could go business class, I could go first class, I could go cargo. Right? So I could go through Judaism. I want to be in the first class. What should I do? I want to have a Judaism which inspires me. And I can inspire my children. And a Shabbos table should be an event that they're going to wait for the whole week. What should I do?
Think about it.
Okay. Let's think about Shabbos. Let's think about Shabbos. What's your first name?
Kobe.
Yeah, you told me already. Right, Kobe. Nachon. What would you say? I want to make Shabbos more meaningful. What should I do?
Learn about it.
What should I learn? Tell me.
Everything. Tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. It's definitely what to learn. What should I do? You know, and sometimes in some places in Shabbos, they play ping pong. They play tennis if there's an Erev. Like, they missed the whole point. How should I feel after Shabbos? Wow, what a special day. On a weekly basis. What should I do? Give me an idea, guys. So to think about to learn. Fine. Anybody want to be maybe a little bit more specific? What should I do? Yeah, let's put this in. Would I want my Judaism to be more alive? What would you say? Would I want it or not? I can't hear.
Yeah?
So how do I get to it? What should I do that shouldn't just be one big fat habit? Which makes it dry, boring, and non-interesting at all. you know, I want to ask you something. If our Judaism would have been alive and kicking, do you think anybody would have gone off the derech? I don't think anybody would have gone off the derech. But you think outside the world there's something, they have something better to offer? They don't. So I want to focus on Shabbos, guys. Give me a few eitzes. What should we do to make Shabbos more... What would you say?
I'll give you a... I'll start it off.
Right? Please.
On the table. Basically, the first thing is to do is to, an hour before Shabbos, put everything away and to...
Excellent. Start thinking about what's your name, please?
Nathan.
Nathan what?
Rabinovich.
Okay, Shkach. That's a good idea. That I should be ready already an hour before, anticipating for the Shabbos, and not taking a shower or shaving or whatever when my mother's still lighting candles. I know, because let's see, when I want to go to an NBA game, I was there half an hour early. I'm not going to come at tip-off. I come early to make sure that I shouldn't miss a second. Right? You know, I'm giving examples from basketball, because when I was 19, 20, my family already moved to Israel, then I played on Maccabi... on the Elitzur Netanya, in the Israeli league. I used to be very good. Maybe even better than you guys. I was really good. You know, reverse layups, the hooks, the fadeaway jumps, everything. I was very quick. That's 35 years ago and 35 kilos ago. So, a double 35. Right? So basketball, like till today, is one of my big yitzharas. I'm a fan of the Knicks, and it hurts me very much what's happening to them this year. It's like they won 5 and lost 30. It's Oyem Vanaya. So Manny, the hour before. Good. Good, Nathan. Anybody has any other ideas? Kobe?
Maybe try to specifically do something different. In addition to like disconnecting, but like, okay, I'm not going to watch it. Maybe try to like even further it, you know?
Okay.
Like, okay. To do something else, I'm not going to take a nap. I'm actually going to try to learn and be productive.
Yeah, no, you're allowed to take a nap. It's no problem. Shana B'Shabbos Tainog. But you know, one of the four people that got killed in Hanov? Rabbi Moshe Tversky, he used to always say, Shem Yikom Domoy, he slept very little on Shabbos. He said, it's such a precious day, how could I waste it on sleep? That was his attitude. Wow. So we're not on that madriga. Rabbi, I just would recommend a sefer that's good to learn if you want to get into really Shabbos that will speak to you. It's in Hebrew. Shabbos Malkus of Rabbi Shimshon Pinkus. It's gewaldic. And Mamish takes care of our problem. To fill Shabbos with some kind of inspiration. And it shouldn't be just a weekend. You know what happened to me once, guys? And with that, I really want to conclude. Rabbi Yitzchak Kotner, as I mentioned before, I was very close to him when I was your age. He was my father, Lev Shalom's Rosh Hashiva. And I had a kesh with him. Did you ever hear of him, Rabbi Yitzchak Kotner, the one of the world of the Pachad Yitzchak? You heard of him, guys? You know the Chaim Blum family, Yeshiva in New York? Yeshiva, huh? Yeah, okay. He was Gadol Hador. He was unbelievable. And I used to have with him every other week, or every third Thursday, just me and him for 2 hours. Just for 3 years, I had a private session with the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal for over 3 years. There's nothing afterwards in my life that could be compared to what happened there. Being with such a giant for 3 years. Every other Thursday or every third Thursday. I remember everything they told me, not because I have such a good memory. I remember even when he put on the glasses, when he took off the... I remember everything. I remember the odor in his room. It was such an unbelievable experience. Once I told him the expression, weekend. Is that called the foul language, to say weekend? Is that like a terrible nivulpa? What would you say? He almost wanted to throw me out the window because I said weekend. It says Shabbos Kodesh is called weekend. That's what he tells me. It says that's how the Goyim call it, not us. We don't call it weekend. Shabbos weekend like sounds that the week like finishes off. But yes, it's the high. It's the high of the week. You should never say week again on Shabbos. That's what he told me. I spoke to him in Hebrew. Af pam al tagid weekend ot pam. I said in Hebrew Sof Shavua. Shabbos Kodesh is called weekend? What are you, crazy? That's what he tells me. And then afterwards I noticed, yeah, how could you call Shabbos Kodesh weekend? It's like together with Sunday. That's what weekend sounds. Okay, we said what we say. Anybody have ideas how we can make tefillin more geschmack? What would you say? What should be the plan? The tefillin should be tasty. The reason I'm focusing is, and then you'll use your own imagination for other mitzvahs. Tzitzis. Why? You know what tzitzis is about? It's strings of light. That's really what it is. Ari Kaplan's book. You know, sometimes in our Bris Medrash, I can tell you, I'm shocked to see that boys were not wearing tzitzis. Zero effort. And what's we got to get a taste in these things, Chava. Listen, think about it for yourself. What will be the ways and the means to make our Judaism inspirational? It's so important. It's so important. You know the Mishnah Berurah? Who wrote the Mishnah Berurah? The Chofetz Chaim. You know what he brings down in Siman Tov Kuf Samach Tes? It's the Siman about Simchas Torah. He says, V'hi'idu al ha'arizal. They testified on the Arizal. The Arizal is considered like the biggest ever in the last 400 or 500 years. Sha'omar al atzmo. He said upon himself that he reached all the milas that he reached, which were unbelievable, because he did mitzvahs with simcha. The Mishnah Berurah brings it down. Is there a Mishnah Berurah in this room? Chelek Vav. The last chelek. I want you to hear it. The Mishnah Berurah usually doesn't say stories. The Mishnah Berurah says halachas.
I just don't know.
Which siman? Tav Kuf Samach Tes.
The English library, so they're all in English.
It's all in English. It's probably the last one. Okay. Don't forget it. It's okay. Oh yeah. Look at Tav Kuf Samach Tes Sif Katan Yud Aleph. What now? Your phone doesn't have it. What?
Tav Kuf Samach Tes is Zochas Tainus.
That's that. Look at Tav Kuf Samach Tes then. No, it's Tav Kuf Samach Tes. Tav Kuf Samach Tes. Tav Kuf Samach Tes. I don't know. Let me see. You're right. So one second. You know, Chelek Vav. You maybe another room? Oh, yeah. What? You're right. That's a deck. Tofresh Samach Tes, maybe?
I've got Tofresh Samach Tes Simchas Torah.
Yeah. So good. Okay, Shkoyach. Okay, that's what it is. So I'm in a mistake. It's not Tav Kuf Samach Tes, it's Tav Resh Samach Tes. Sif Katan Yud Aleph. But I want that guy to wake up. You got to hear this. You hear? Listen. Here it is. They won't believe me. You read it. U'mishem ha'arizal. V'hi'idu al ha'arizal.
V'hi'idu al ha'arizal. Sha'amar.
Sha'amar. Oh, I messed it up. Sha'amar. We have to go to the next siman. Tougher some of that. Tougher some of that. Sifkot Yud Aleph.
Sha'amar Shahamayla Hal Yona Shahisig Ba'a Lo Al Yedei Shahaya Misameach B'chol Oz B'simcha Shal Mitzvah.
Okay. You hear what it says here? The Arizal said that he reached his madrega, that the Vilna Gaon would shake when he would mention his name of the Arizal, because when he did mitzvah, he did it with simcha. That makes the whole difference. But how do I do it with simcha? Especially if we do it day in, day out. That's only if we think, we have to have a plan. It won't happen just like that. But if you do, I promise you, you're going to fly your whole life first class. Your whole life, you'll fly for, you're going to fly first class. The whole life, you'll look like Reb Moshe Tarragon. Your whole life. Remember also, someone raised their hand and asked him, why are you so happy, Rabbi Tarragon? You remember someone asked him that? Mm-hmm. Why are you so happy? He looks like so happy. What are you so happy about? So he said, because I'm a Jew. So if you do this little avoida of trying to do mitzvahs, now Seder base, what's the attitude? The attitude could be, oh, I'm so tired. Okay, well, when's our next vacation? That could be one attitude. It could be another attitude. Every word of I'm going to say now in my Seder, the Vilna Gaon says is a mitzvah. The Chofetz Chaim measure that you can mention 200 words per minute. If you learn solid for 1 hour, you put aside 12,000 mitzvahs for 1 hour. If you learn 4 hours, it's about 50,000 mitzvahs for every Seder base. Now it says you shouldn't do it for the schar, but just like somehow, nevertheless, if you just think, oh boy, say, it's going to become, will become gewaldic. Will become gewaldic. Beseder, does anybody have anything to ask or to say? Huh? When are you going back to Denver?
Next week.
Are you going to be here for the whole week? Yeah. Yofi, you going to be in the Shabbat HaKotel? You learn everything with your son?
With two sons, actually. I've got this Christ, I have two sons.
Ah.
My son, Avi, and
Leon. Gewaldic. What's the age difference between the two of you?
A year and 358 days.
Who's older?
You know, Abby's my bechor. So I've been here for 6 weeks. I've had an incredible experience here.
Beautiful.
Just to learn with your kids.
It's gewaldic. You know, I want to tell you something about learning with your kids. Bamas, you know, when there's PTA meetings in London, I tell the parents, I can tell you again, unfortunately my father died when I was 19. He had a sudden heart attack, he was 53 years old. But from the age of 14 to 19, every Shabbos I would chazal with him when I learned throughout the week. We lived already in Israel. It was, I promise you, the highlight of my week. Why? Because on Sunday I would come to Yeshiva and tell the Rebbe the questions that my father asked. He was a Talmud Rav Hutner, he knew how to learn. And there were 70 boys in the class, 70. And almost every Sunday, I would tell the Rebbe before the shiur what my father asked, questions that he had on the material that we learned. And he would say, Yeshua Hartman's father asked, blah, 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 and made me feel like $1 million. And then what happened a lot of times when I would go with my father, David and Chamarev, and my classmates would see us, they'd go straight speak to my father about the questions that he raised and ignore me totally. Like he was the focus much more than I was. It's such a beautiful gift that Kosh Bol gave us to learn with your kids. How often do we do it? You know what today is called in the world to spend quality time? That you take your son to watch a movie. That's called quality time with your son. No, it's not. The two of you are watching a movie. Quality time is the two of you engaging with each other. There's nothing like learning that does it. Nothing. And I did it, Baruch Hashem, with my own kids also. And it was gewaldic. So what Reb Nathan's saying is, it's so true. But again, we blow it. We blew it. How many of us learned with our fathers? Kimat no one. So here's another gift that Kosh Baruch is giving us, and we don't take an opportunity of it. Or what we're going to do, well, when my kids will be 16, 17, I'll hire a very good Rebbe for them. No, but they want to learn with you. They want to learn with you. Not a Rebbe. No, we'll get the best Rebbe that money can buy. We don't want that. What's wrong with you? That's the memories that I have from my father. We used to learn together on Shabbos afternoons. In the summer, in the winter, on Friday nights. Little Shabbos. So I'm just pointing out, Rabbi said, there's so many beautiful things that Kodesh Baruch gave us. Let's just take advantage of it. Let's chap the opportunity. And not let it go by without taking advantage of it. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll stop here. Okay, shkach. How's it going, guys? How was it with your father around?
It's been wonderful.